Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Great day today. We've got Dr. Thomas Okamoto. He is a psychiatrist, and Chris Williams. He is a brilliant therapist. You put the two together, well, I think we might be able to help you. Hi, guys. Welcome. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Yeah, thanks for letting me be here today, Steve.
Yeah, let's don't mess around. Let's go talk to some folks that called us at 1-800-229-3000. I want to talk with Karen. I think she's calling us, listening on KKLA, line 8. There we go. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the New Life. How can we help you today?
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have some dating advice I'd love to get from you guys. So I'm dating a man now for a little over a year. I am in my early 50s, and he's almost 60. He is a very committed Christian. I mean, we both love the Lord. We have a wonderful connection that way, which I treasure. Really great connection intellectually as well. We have a good time together. But I do have some concerns.
What concerns?
Well, I think he may be a very highly functioning Asperger's. On the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder how that's playing into our relationship and what maybe that and ADD, extreme ADD, I suspect as well. And just, just the future of the relationship, if I should think that, you know, if he can connect or if it's just giving him more time. And he does strongly believe in counseling, but at this point he doesn't, does strongly believe in counseling, but he doesn't want to do a lot of that before getting engaged.
Uh-huh.
So there's some rigidity in his thinking.
Okay. I have a question for you. Why do you think he is high on the Asperger's spectrum there? Why do you think that?
Okay.
What's he doing that makes you think?
Well, I started to suspect some things. So I'm a public school teacher, so I do have some experience with children with different needs.
Uh-huh.
So there's some things that I've seen, like he repeats some phrases frequently, particularly about the memories of a cat that he lost more than 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
which I think provides him with some comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just kind of like a habit. But he does talk about, you know, memories of the past that he went through some pain with a divorce that was about 14 years ago where he wasn't able to connect and he felt he married someone who's quite abusive. He's a bit rigid in his thinking. He has some touch sensitivities.
Okay. So,
yeah,
all right.
Some other things, yeah.
So, let's start with Chris. What are you thinking when you hear this, Chris?
Well, I think you have some great insights, Karen, and some great questions. And I think to simplify it to the relationship is are you okay with his ability to connect? And do you want more? And to move forward, do you want more in
mm-hmm.
that? And I want to
mm-hmm.
propose real quickly another possibility, not maybe in addition to, but when a person starts repeating stories, for instance, of a lost cat, they're oftentimes
mm-hmm.
stuck in their grief. That he may
mm-hmm.
be dealing with trauma loss, which is creating insecurity and inability to connect. It creates an invisible barrier that I can only go so far, but I'm afraid to lose you. And that may be his issue with commitment as well. But getting him to
mm-hmm.
talk about his losses in his life could be a real avenue into greater connection.
Which mm-hmm. might not have anything to do with Asperger's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It may not, absolutely.
Yeah, but it could just be a totally separate phenomenon. All right, so we'll go to a break. You hear the music. We come back. We're really thrilled to have Dr. Thomas Okamoto on with us, and we'll get some insights from him right after this.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Everyman's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Everyman's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking with Karen, and she's dating a guy, thinks he's high on the Asperger's spectrum, and he's having a hard time with a lot of different things there. And Chris, you want to finish there, and then we'll talk to Dr. Okamoto about him and her.
Yeah, because I'm not saying that he doesn't have some form of a spectrum disorder. Just also saying that I think there's some other things in his history, and that's where I find that a lot of deeper connection can be made in relationship is talking about our histories. And really, one of the ways that we can do that is asking about our fears and our concerns, going to those deeper levels of vulnerability and intimacy.
Yeah, so what does he say when you try to get intimate or deeper into what he's thinking and feeling?
Yeah, actually, we do have these conversations. He will say, I wonder why I just think about the cat so much. And I said, well, you know, we think it provides some comfort. He does see a therapist on occasion. And he has gone through therapy during his divorce and after. We do talk about it a fair amount, about the pain that he experienced through the divorce and the loss of that, as well as other maybe less impactful losses, but I would say that was the biggest one that he dealt with. And he does have some social cue issues, like reading others and a bit of a frustration in communicating with others.
Yeah.
Why do you like him so much?
Well, great question. He is, like I said, very committed in his faith, and that's important to me, and we have a great connection that way. He's very complimentary of me, of who I am as a person, you know, from the inside, which is wonderful, you know. We do enjoy our times together. We laugh a lot. You know, we have similar values, and I would say those are great things. Lacking is the depth of communication moving forward, and then also a physical intimacy in just expressing love for each other that way. You know, we're committed to not having sex and not going too far and all that, but I still think it's lacking in that way. So I'm just wondering, if he's able to move past those fears he has.
All right. Dr. Okamoto, what are you thinking here?
Karen, just kind of a basic question. How long have you been with him?
Slightly over a year now.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is we're long-distance dating.
So it's very new, and it's hard to kind of have some continuity over time.
We've seen each other about 12 times in the last year.
Yeah, so that's kind of like a beginning stages of the relationship almost. But I would also be watching over time with your thoughts about his ability to connect and his desire to connect. Will that change over time? Is he willing to go to therapy with you and have some process? Can you see him change over time? I would give it that to kind of decide how much is he capable of, or if his capabilities are static. And that would be more kind of what's the future for you there if you want more. But there's it's hard to say when you don't know what the process could be in the future.
Well, to me, when I hear all of this, here's the big concern that I think is the headline. You have some concerns about him, and he said, I don't really want to get counseling before we get engaged. That is the time to get counseling. And any,
I agree.
Any kind of, well, later, or I'll do it then, that is just absolute denial of getting help. And what you want, I'm telling you, if you were marrying someone with the greatest character, least amount of problems, but they weren't willing to get help when there's a concern of yours, well, you got a disaster on your hands. So to me, that's the big headline here, and that's the problem you guys need to be talking about first, is this big word called willingness. Chris, your thoughts?
Just one other thought. There's another big word that I'm going to put out there, and that's expect.
Yeah, it's not going to be as important as that. Go ahead. What is that word?
Yes. Yeah. But it's expectation.
You know, okay, maybe it's bigger.
Right. Karen, we do put a tremendous amount of expectations for our needs, especially our emotional relational needs, to be met on one person. And there's not one person on planet Earth that is going to fulfill all of our relational emotional needs. And so you have given me a great list of awesome characteristics. And there's this one key area, and it is a key area that this guy struggles in. And as Dr. Okamoto was saying, he may not be able to bridge that gap for you. And can you live well with that? But I see so many times marriages oftentimes fail on inaccurate expectations of the other person to meet needs that they just can't do. And that's why we have community. That's why we have our church communities, where we get our friends, what I call our tribes, to really connect at these deeper levels that help support the marriage, where the marriage isn't having to hold all of that weight.
I completely agree. Yeah, I'm very blessed with all of my relational issues outside of this relationship, and feel very fulfilled that way. I'm just wondering if he has sort of maybe the basic abilities to grow into a marriage.
Yeah, that's good.
But look, here's a really great thing to do. Honey, you mentioned your cat several times. And I've come to understand that there is some grieving that needs to be done. It's obviously still painful. You've resisted. You've said, I don't want to do any kind of counseling and stuff. But I really think you should, even if it's for nothing other than that, you need to go. And then you would say to him, you know, a lot of our future, I think, depends on whether or not both of us would be willing to get help whenever issues come up. And if we're not, then I don't know. I mean, it just seems like we're just asking for trouble. I think it's risky to do that. You might lose the relationship, but you might also discover a fatal flaw in the relationship that might mean he's not, it's not that he's Mr. Wrong, but he's Mr. Not Right Now. That would be really, really good to know. Now, I'm going to send you this book, and it's called Understand. Well, I'll send you Is This the One? I think that's going to give you some great help there. I think that could be the best one for you. All right. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you want a copy of that, or if you want a copy of any of the books that we've got here, would love to talk with you. Let's go over here to Agnes, Nashville, Tennessee. How you doing, Agnes?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, how's it going?
Oh, good. I'm doing well. I am driving, and I hope I don't lose you, because sometimes I go through some bad spots.
Okay, we'll do our best.
Is, My question is how to, I don't know how to put this. I'm sorry, that's my GPS. How to accomplish falling out of love with someone that you've been in love with for over 20 years.
You're not married?
No, I'm not married. I am single. I've been divorced for probably well over 30 years. And he's been divorced 3 times. So
okay.
There's a whole lot, you know, there's a whole lot going on in there. And I know, I'm so sorry, sir. I know there's a whole lot going on, you know, there's a lot going on in the relationship, but I've gotten to the point where I want to do something with my feelings for him. We are very good friends, have always been friends, and we've broken up, you know, we've dated, we've broken up, we've gotten back together, we've gone through that whole scenario, and I am just having a hard time when I'm apart from him for any length of time, and I just want to put those feelings in a box and drop it at the bottom of the ocean and move on with my life and not have those feelings.
But those things are impossible unless you have somebody help you with it. Otherwise, you would have let go of this guy a long time ago.
Very true.
Yeah. Chris, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Agnes, there's so many times in these relationships that we want to work so badly in our lives. I want this to work out, and there's this yo-yo effect. It works, it doesn't work. But over time, what we end up doing is we lose ourselves to the relationship. And that's what makes it hard to be alone. Apart from this person, I don't know who I am. I don't know and I'm feeling the loss and the loneliness and the hurt and also the painful longing that remains unfulfilled. And so as Steve was saying, it's really getting into help to reconnect you back to you so that when mm-hmm. Agnes is with Agnes, there is a really good companion there that loves her, that cares for her, that Agnes can be good alone and good with other people. But there is a loss and grief process that you're going to have to go through, and I would recommend counseling to get through that because that longing for him and to be with him is a really, really strong drive.
Dr. Okamoto, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I agree totally with Chris is that, you know, whenever you go through these on-off things, it's like it's hard to let it go because you get lonely and you feel the need when that person's not there. But when you know, like you're describing, you know this is not the right thing and you need to drop him off at the bottom of the ocean and at least emotionally move on, you need other people to go to. You need friends, you need family, you need other girlfriends sort of knowing what this is about and helping you get out and do fun things, not sit by yourself and be in pain, but to be in relationship and to be in community and to deal with the grief and the loss of the breakup in therapy and counseling and all that. So I think Chris is totally right.
Yeah, that really is the biggest biggest question. Where were the women in your life 5 years into the relationship, 10 years into, 15 years, and now that would have said, honey, you need to drop this guy. He's not going to commit to you. It's not going your direction. That's what you need so that...
Oh, I've had them, and they've told me that.
Well, what?
They have told me that.
Well, you're not listening to them. they need you to do something.
This
they care
is,
about
is
you.
Very true.
And so
that's
here's the thing.
True.
Here's the thing. Why'd you call us if you why would you listen to and will you listen to anything we have to say if the people that care about you there you don't really care what they have to say and they're saying kind of the same stuff we're saying.
That's true.
So,
well,
what are you going to do?
I called you because I'm at my wit's end, and I still have those women in my life, but they don't know that I have reconnected with him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you're not being honest with him. Them.
He's your drug, Agnes. Sure. You got to drop your drug and get into recovery.
I guess I'm going to need help with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you and that's what we're saying. You it's probably going to be difficult to do it alone, because sometimes the two most difficult words in the English language are these. Bye-bye. That is not easy to say to somebody when you need to let them go. Bye-bye. Hey, practice with me. Just say bye-bye. Try it. Come on. You can do it. Okay, well, forget it. Anyway, we are pulling for you, okay, Agnes? You're a delightful person, and it's not too late for you to find somebody that thinks Agnes is spectacular and wouldn't want to lose her. So, I'm going to pull for you there. And hang in there with your friends, not with somebody who just is only willing to keep you as a really nice, convenient person, a luxury in their lives. We'll take a break, come right back for more of New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Thomas Okamoto, and also Chris Williams. Really glad that you're both here today to help anybody. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Have some great, wonderful workshops. It's all part of what we do here. And every month, you know, we do Every Man's Battle. We love helping men find sexual integrity, a life of purity. We've got one coming up August the 9th. You can sign up. On the 19th, just right around the corner here, is Restore. Finding Freedom is September the 20th. And 12 Steps to Happier, that's October the 5th. That's our 12-step life recovery conference there in Irvine. And then Intimacy and Marriage, October the 25th. All of that's available for you. You just have to call us, and we can help you. Many times there's scholarships that are available. Let's go to, how about we talk with Lisa, San Francisco, KFAX. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm calling because I'm just trying to figure out how to deal with the rejection from my family. Our mother died when I was 1 year old, and so I wasn't raised around my siblings. But of course, you know, through visiting on vacation and different things like that, I got to know them. And there was just so much bickering between them, and I'm that sibling. I kind of stay away from all that kind of thing. And also, you know, having a relationship with God and just trying to learn how to have that established, because I know that's the most important. It just wasn't matching with having the family dynamics as well. So mm-hmm. I just kind of made a choice. And I chose, you know, to walk with God. But, you know, I noticed that, it's, you know, time goes on. There's a lot of things going on, you know, with me. And I don't want them to feel like I'm just reaching out because my health is in jeopardy or anything like that. Because actually there's quite a few, their health is in jeopardy as well. And so we just lost a sister in March. And, you know, we're kind of all talking on the phone. I haven't seen them since I was 17. I'm now in my 50s. But, you know, just talking on the phone and everything and trying to be supportive of one another. But something happened the other day. I was talking to my sister, and I said, you know, I want to tell you the truth because I'm trying to get healthy, and I feel like I'm holding something in, and I don't want it to make me more sick. So uh-huh. I told her that I just kind of had wished that she had, or at least one of them had took me under their wing and kind of gave me support like they gave their children. Because my siblings are older than myself, so their children, some of their children are about my age, my nieces and nephews.
What was your response to that?
She was upset. She got really, she will not answer the phone. She doesn't talk to me. Nothing. She was really upset. And before we got the phone, I told her several times, I said, listen, I don't want you to think you did the wrong thing. I'm not saying that you did the wrong thing by sending me, you know, away. You did the best you could. I'm not blaming you for that. I'm just saying that when I got older and I started reaching out for support, I just wish that you guys would have done that for me more, because maybe now I'd have a small business, maybe like a hair salon or something, and I could take care of myself, and I wouldn't have to be sitting here wondering if someone's going to help me. And so she didn't understand that. She just was very upset. I think I hit a sore spot. So she doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
So
she told me I'm the only one that will speak to you. And I thought, wow, that's not true. Actually, I chose to stay away from everyone. So I don't know why she'd say that.
Well, now, you have a hard time supporting yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I tried to work. I was born with a blood disorder, as they know. And I try to work, you know, but it was very difficult. And so back in January, I was in the hospital overnight and had a procedure done. And the outcome of that is kind of scary. So, you know, just, you know, every day I kind of walk around, I have these pains and different things, and I don't know what's happening to me. They told me they felt that, you know, part of it was stress related. And I'm just, you know, so now I don't know how I'm going to make her rent. And,
okay.
You know, that's why I expressed that to her, because I was just saying, you know, I just want to be self-sufficient. I don't want a handout, you know.
Yeah, she really had a dramatic reaction there. Chris, what do you think when you hear this?
Oh, man, there is a lot going on here, Lisa. How old were your siblings when your mom passed away? Like this one that you're talking to, how old was she when...
16.
So she's a 16-year-old. She's a teenager. Her mom passes away. She's dealing with the grief and loss of that, overwhelmed with what it means to have a one-year-old sister. I'm wondering just how much shame and guilt that she might be carrying as a result of her inability to help you, or the shame and guilt of having you be sent elsewhere. The other thing is that each time you're going to talk with your family, there's a good chance that you're going to have what I call an abandonment trigger. You know, a longing to be a part of, a longing to be with them, but just their voice is a reminder that you weren't. That's real pain. And so what that is it's the trauma reinventing itself in real time all over again, and everyone's unsaid and undealt with loss being bleeding out towards each other. Because I think your sister sounds like she loves you, but she doesn't know how to love you well or how to hear you well through her pain. We're right up against the break, so we'll continue this.
We'll come right back after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking to Lisa here, and oh my goodness, a lot of tough, hard feelings here in the family. Chris, you want to finish with Lisa?
Yeah.
Dr. Okamoto, I want to hear from you too, but Chris has brought up a lot of things that we'll not even be able to come close to resolving.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris, and get what you got there, buddy.
I dove in the deep end, but I need to swim back to the surface here for a moment. Lisa, I think what's really important is that when you bring up regrets about the past, it's going to trigger the pain of the past in your family. When you stay current, if you say, hey, all what's happened in the past, I'm going to have to learn how to forgive and move forward through it, even though the pain and the loss is real, and to get help for that. But in relationship to your family, I would keep it in the present moment. You can't go back and repair the past right now. What you can do is connect the best way you can in the way you in your current life. And I think that that's the way to engage in connection with your family.
Well, okay, Dr. What happened was that I would always be the one that she would come to, and she would always talk about her regret. And I've always been a listening ear. It's like I was the big sister.
Yeah.
So the one time that I said, and the only reason why I brought it up is because I'm having such a hard time, and I feel like they kind of they look over me. They don't come to visit me. You know, I don't have the money or the health to go. But they'll fly all over to the Caribbean or just different places. But they don't stop because I feel like it's because I'm the poor relative. I don't really have much going on for myself, and they know that because of my health. But it's like they're ashamed of me. So I told her, I said, you know, I wish, you know, that I could be more self-sufficient. You know, well, in part so they didn't feel that way, and then also so I could take care of myself. So I feel like I can't win, you know.
Yeah.
I only brought it up to her once, and she told me, she says, no one's going to do that for you. No one's going to do that. Yeah. I thought that was kind of mean.
Well, but here's the thing. Just because you have some genetic commonalities with somebody doesn't mean that it's going to go well or you really should spend any time with them. And so I can't imagine, given what you said, them coming to see you or you going to see them. I think you've got some grieving work to do, and when you do that, you're going to free yourself from any expecting anything to come from them, and it's unfortunate. Dr. Okamoto, any thoughts here?
Well, and Chris mentioned it, that when you think about why are they being this way, well, it's obvious that they've never resolved any of this emotionally.
Yeah,
so they're holding on to this, and they're maybe looking at you for being a mom. But when you start being needy, they have no idea how to take care of other people. They're just looking for ways to fill themselves up. And so that may be kind of a place where you can't go for that, like normal family stuff.
That's right. Well, you know, I'm really sorry for what you are going through, and I hope and pray that you'll get some help in letting things go. Maybe we could help you find that person. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I think that will help you in that letting go process. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, I know people love this ministry. They want to help. How can they help today?
Well, help us with our matching gift. We need to close it out here in the next couple of weeks. This is a recorded program, so I can't give you an accurate update or report. But I know we're closing in. I know that we can reach this goal. This goal is $324,000.
What do you think it is, Larry, just projecting?
I'm going to guess we're going to be between 200 and 250.
Okay.
But I can't, you know, that's my best guess.
So we need another 50, 90,000, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm passionate because of what happens to people here at New Life, how God's working through them, through this ministry. A brief little testimony. Person writes, thank you so much for being there for me. You're like my daddies. My own father was abusive and abandoning. God has brought me healing through you. Thank you for teaching me that it's okay to cry, because before listening to you, I was as hard as stone. Mm. So if you can get behind a ministry that helps change somebody's heart from stone to flesh and loving and caring for people, that's what we want to do. If you could call us at 800-NEW-LIFE, go to newlife.com, make a gift, it'll be doubled. So many people say, I wish I could give more. Now you can. So help us out, please.
Yeah, and thanks to that person for not saying granddaddy. So I just honor that. You know. Help us if you can. We want to be here for your grandchildren. That's how long we want to be here. We're doing everything we can to make sure that that happens. But we need your help. We always have. We always will. If you can help us, call us at 1-800-NEWLIFE. That really is the real live number that changes everything. 1-800-NEWLIFE. All right. Thank you, Larry. Let's go right on back to our callers. And how about we go to Eddie, Washington, D.C. How you doing, Eddie?
It's Amy.
It's Amy?
Amy.
Okay, it's on the screen here, E-D-I-E. I get so many things wrong. I hate to take, you know,
But you get so many
Amy.
More, but you get so many more right.
Yeah. All right. Well, how in the world could we help you, Amy?
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call. My nephew, I love very much, and I don't get to see him very often. He's a mature man. I'm 70. He's 20. He's 50. And so we've known each other for a very long time, obviously. And he loves me and respects me, and we have a great relationship. However, I recently had an opportunity to visit and hang out with him. His life has been not what we would hope for, you know, failed marriages, relationships. He's just very, very bad at picking women for his life.
Okay.
And we're all Christians. In the family, we've been very kind to her, and we've done everything we can. However, on this trip, it was very obvious to me. I'm not a professional, but it seemed very obvious to me that this young woman is on drugs.
Oh, wow.
And I was stunned that she was on drugs, but also stunned that she tried to get through we had two visits, two different days, and he just went through the whole visit. We went to dinner, we went out to an aquarium, we hung out together, and he is completely oblivious to all these signs. They're basically screaming at me.
Hmm.
You know, she's nodding off at the table during dinner.
Oh, boy.
She looks terrible. Her skin is in horrible shape. She looks older than I am, and she's like 30 years younger. And I was stunned that he was also oblivious. So my question for today is, I came back with a heavy heart.
Yeah.
tried to talk with him, but it's hard to drop something like that when you just visit once in a while.
Right.
And
are you wanting us to call him and tell him?
Yeah.
Okay. But Ray, how could we help you here? Because that's a tough one.
How do I bring this up? I tried to do it as gently as I could to see if he was open to it, but he's in deep denial, I think. I said, you know, she won't go to the doctor. She's got a very severe problem that is not going to get better. She doesn't see a doctor. But I think, right that people on drugs don't go to doctors because they know the doctor's going to tell them to get off the drugs? Is that correct?
Well, unless they're going to a doctor that gives them the drugs, that's always a possibility. But let's see. Dr. Okamoto, what do you think would be a good approach here? He's dating someone, and
well, Amy, you sort of mentioned it before that he's not good at picking women and partners for himself, and so he's kind of following the same type of pattern. And you know, can you change that by just letting him know? Well, it may need to be a little more subtle, and you may have to kind of cut your expectations down of how much you can tell him because it's up to him.
Yeah,
I don't have any illusions that he's going to pick better women because I point this out to him.
Here's the thing. I don't think what you're going to do is going to produce a radical change in him. So if you're not expecting some big deal, I think a phone call could be a little deal where you're saying to him, hey, you know, ever since we were together, I've been waiting, and I just think now's the time. Let's talk about her for a minute. You know, she was really in trouble there. Everybody noticed that she could hardly, I mean, when her face hit that soup, whatever it is, let's talk about it. And I want you to be able to help her. So it's not a matter of is she or not. It's a matter of kind of approaching it, you wanting him to help her rather than just ignore it like he did. And so I think it's just a phone call. But I don't know that it's going to produce any great, amazing result. I think that might be an unrealistic expectation.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We've been talking to Edie. Got it right this time. Edie, glad you're with us. Sorry I got your name wrong. But really hope that you will just call and encourage him to get help for her and just make it kind of matter of fact like that. Chris, anything you want to add to Edie?
Yeah, I just think take the risk in letting him know the truth. Let go of the expectations of the outcome. And keeping the focus off of the girlfriend and exclusively on your nephew. The girlfriend doesn't have a problem. Your nephew has a problem. And address him as the problem that you see him struggling with and what your desire is for him. And then, you know, if he's willing to get help, maybe any way you can help him. If not, you're going to have to let it go.
Okay, so you pretty much disagree with everything that I've said. I think that's good. All right, so Edie, here's the thing. I'm going to send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with a Drug or Alcohol Addiction, and I think it's going to be a big help to you. I sure hope so. Let's go to, I'm going to take his last caller. It's Gladys, Houston, Texas, KKHT. Gladys, you're on. Don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call. How can we help today?
Hi, yes, thank you. My name is Gladys Gish. Coming from my dysfunctional marriage and dysfunctional home,
yes.
The result of that is that I have three kids, and my last one is a girl who is 26 years old. He's going to be 26 years old, and she's suffering from anxiety and depression. He's living with us because she couldn't make it on her own. We moved from a state, from one state to another, and she stayed there, but she couldn't make it. She gets the job, but she doesn't keep it because sometimes she says that she has to stay because she doesn't feel fine. We are afraid. One time she attempted suicide. And my husband and I are afraid that she's going to do it again. And my husband is already 58 years old, I'm 53. And we are thinking of probably going back to our country, not to leave, but to spend some, maybe 2-3 months over there. But we're afraid to leave her alone. Uh-huh. Last time we left her alone, she had a crisis, and we don't know exactly what she did, but my older son told me that she was in a crisis, and so we are afraid, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to deal with that situation. Sometimes she talks to us, sometimes she doesn't want to talk to us, and it's like really hard to want to help her. She is in medication.
How can we help you? What we get it. What's the question for us then?
The question will be: is it real that we are afraid and that she can attempt suicide, or she cannot be safe if we leave her? Is there something that we can avoid or I don't know if we feel the need to stay with her.
Let's ask Dr. Okamoto in the short amount of time we have here what he's thinking when he hears about this.
This is kind of opens up the world of how hard it is when you have mental illness in the family, and it doesn't have to be severe, but this sounds pretty severe and chronic. When parents are confronted with this, they have a hard time doing the right thing because they want to let go and let their kids be adults. But on the other hand, they're terrified that they may lose their kids to illness. You have to go with getting a lot of support through the counseling and therapists or psychiatrists about how do you and your husband deal with leaving, and what are the signs that it's not a good time to leave, or leaving her with good care or support if you're not there, and being okay with that boundary. But that takes a lot of work with you and your husband to kind of grieve before you go, because you have to be prepared that mental health care is not perfect and people have free will and they battle these illnesses, and it's a tough battle day by day. But you can't control her day by day. You have to also live your life and let your daughter be an adult.
It seems to me that just to up and leave without being sure you've made some kind of arrangements for her to have support in your absence, you might regret that. Would you agree with that, Dr. Okamoto?
Oh, yeah, that definitely. So that when you leave, you've got things in place, or clinics or a program in place, therapists in place, that, or siblings that will be checking in according to what the therapist may suggest to provide some support.
Chris, you have a thought here?
Yeah, this is where professional help is critically important. What your daughter is dealing with is too large of an issue for the family to be able to treat. And this is why our profession exists, specifically for your daughter. So connecting her to the help, but what that also does is it relieves you of the responsibility to have to treat your daughter's anxiety, depression, and struggles with suicidality.
Yeah, these illnesses are very serious, and the World Health Organization deems depression as the number one cause of disability and life lost to illness. And we haven't caught up to the idea that this takes lives away, either in suicide or days lost of healthy living. And it's very serious when these things hit like this. We just hope for the best for treatment and for you to get good counselors who can give you good guidance so that you can have your own lives too, as your daughter has her journey that she needs to be on.
Yeah. All right, I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. And anybody else, we've got that available for you. Dr. Okamoto, you do a lot of work. You're helping people understand, and you're involved in the medical and the dental community, the Christian Medical and Dental Societies. Anything you want to say to encourage people who are struggling?
We are trying to make it better. It's a very big battle against the illnesses and against stigma, and the church is now on board, and physicians and psychiatrists are now okay being Christians and connecting with the church and trying to be more available to the church, because mental illness has been part of our lives and our broken brains as long as we've been on the earth and after the fall. So we are moving forward and trying to get better at it.
Well, keep up the good work. I mean, we're appreciative of all that you do to help others and reaching out. You know, it's hard to understand sometimes, but what isn't difficult to understand is we don't live in the Garden of Eden. We live outside the garden. There's really complicated, complex, tough problems other than just medical illnesses that we either develop or we catch from somebody else. There's a brain there. It's got some problems, and it always will, and we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to help it. That's the bottom line, and I hope and pray that you will get the help you need or encourage somebody else and support them if they're getting that help. When you need help, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you've had a man in your life that has struggled with sexual integrity and has not done well and you have been you've been betrayed, please call us and let us help you with the Restore Workshop. Every Man's Battle's coming up. But just call us. There's a book, there's a therapist, there's a workshop. We want to help you in whatever way we can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.